Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, first Friday series of 2021.
Absolutely, and we've got some good thoughts we want to share with you. And we hope that you'll stay with us throughout this month as we kind of delve into the important topic of the subject of worry.
Yeah, earlier this week, you had a quick quote. We appreciate those quick quotes that get posted on social media first thing every weekday morning. And I think it was Tuesdays of this week said, "Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine." And we'll talk a little bit about that as we move along through this episode. But throughout the month of January, really, we want to talk about worry and what to do when you start to worry. I think this will be helpful for many of us. The holiday season is a time where we get sentimental, we get nostalgic. For many of us, kind of a glow at the end of the new year, even in a difficult year like 2020, a kind of hopeful glow that surrounds the end of a year. But then when it comes to January and maybe those holiday decorations get taken down and it seems a little darker in the neighborhood and it gets dark early in the day, maybe some of those worries and concerns that we had been able to sideline for a little while get a little more real. And so we want to talk, Lord willing, over the course of the four Fridays in January about what to do when you start to worry. Roger, what are those four words?
Well, the words we're going to look at are the words look, lift, cast, and trust. And we will stretch each of those out each week. But I think it's very fitting, as you said, right after the holidays to talk about this. You know, the decorations go down and the bills come in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we start realizing, what in the world have I done? And new semester, a new semester of college, and dad's looking at the college bill thinking, oh my goodness, look at how much we owe. And there's just so much to worry about. We worry about our kids. We worry about whether they're going to be healthy or not. They get to a certain age, we start worrying about who they're dating, and on and on and on. And it just never seems to stop. And some people spend a lifetime of worry. And worry has a great impact to our faith. And we will talk about that quite a bit today as we think about that. We hear the expression worried to death, and some people really do. They just worry themselves to death. Sometimes the problem is not as bad as we thought it was. You know, you got a surgery coming down the road and you get all worked up thinking about it, and then post-surgery really wasn't that bad. But that worry, you know, I have an old expression that says, worry makes a little dog seem a lot bigger than what he is. And that can be. And so let's talk about that. And today's word is going to be to look.
Yeah, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. And maybe this is not something that you have struggled with in the past, but here in the very beginning of 2021, you feel it. There's a different feel in the air in January of 21 than there was in January 20. And we hope a little bit of time in Matthew chapter 6 will be of help to you today. As we said, four words, and today's word is look. When you start to worry, look. Roger, why don't I read this text and then you pull some things out that will help us as we head into this weekend. Of course, this is in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When you start to worry, Jesus is telling us, look. What do we learn from that?
Well, you know, where we get this word from is in both verse 26 and verse 28. He says, look at the birds and observe how the lilies of the field grow. Look and observe. You'll notice five times in this short section the word worry comes up. And not one time does Jesus give us a pass. He says, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And I think sometimes this is one of those acceptable sins. We, you know, oh, I know I shouldn't, but I do. And here the Lord is telling us, don't do this. It's not going to do what you think it's going to do. It's not helpful for you. It's not healthy for you. It doesn't get you closer to God. And we'll notice some of that as we go through this. As we began this reading in verse 25, Jason's translation, the ESV, says, therefore, the New American Standard uses for this reason.
Yeah.
And that always kicks us up to the verses before that. And so in Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. Therefore, or for this reason, then he goes in this long discourse about worry or being anxious. So the therefore, or for this reason, reminds us that we have to be single-focused upon God. And when we have this divided allegiance, when our eyes are looking two different directions, that's when trouble begins. But let's notice some things that kind of stands out here as he does this. He first of all tells us in verse 25 about our priorities. He says, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as for what you will put on. Food, clothing, and shelter. Basically, we say that. He ends this verse by saying, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Priorities.
Yeah.
Priorities. And we live in a time where a lot of people, they don't get that. The most important thing is their closet. The most important thing is their belly. And Jesus said, first of all, worry is lost when you get the right priorities.
Yeah, life is bigger even than some of those really big things, basic things that we're concerned about, right? I can have an amazing house in which to lay my head. I can have more food than I know what to do with. I can have so many clothes that I never, ever wear the same thing again. But life, my God-given life, is bigger than those things.
And none of those things are going to go with you to the next world anyway.
Yeah.
And we put so much emphasis, there's the idea again of perspective and priority. We put so much emphasis upon the outside, we forget what's on the inside. And that's our character, and that's our heart. The second major principle here is in verse 27, where he says, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Now, there's an interesting thing we need to notice about the different translations. The old King James Version here uses the expression cubit. Who can add a single cubit to his life? And cubit was a measurement. It basically was based upon the size of the king. From his middle finger to his elbow, that was considered a cubit, about 18 inches. So here's a short guy, and he's tired of short jokes, or a tall guy is tired of everyone teasing about being tall, and they stay worrying. Is that going to make him shorter or taller? No, it doesn't. It doesn't change your size. Now, the New American Standard, which I'm using, uses the word hour. It says, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? What worry really does is take away the hours from our life. It doesn't add to it. And so what he's telling us here is worry doesn't change anything. We used to use the illustration, these old preachers, I'm one of them now, sitting in rocking chairs. You know, that it gives you something to do, but you don't go anywhere. I like the illustration of starting your car up. You can start your car up, keep it in park, hit that accelerator multiple times. It burns a lot of fuel, makes a lot of noise, a lot of energy, but you don't go anywhere. That's what worry does. It doesn't accomplish anything. And so then a third principle he brings out to us, and this is in verse 28. Where he says, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed themselves like one of these. And Solomon in his time was one of the richest men of the world. His temple, his palace was just lined with gold. There was so much gold that silver was considered just rubble. It's considered common stuff. And yet what he's saying is the flowers of the field look more beautiful than what Solomon could make. And what it does is worry tends to blind us to our blessings, blind us to how God has taken care of us, blind us to what we have and what really matters in life. And then he wraps this up, I think a fourth principle here is at the very end, verse 32, as he talks about, once again, do not worry in verse 31, what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear for clothing, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. The Gentiles were the unbelievers. They're the ones who bowed down to a rock and called it God. And Jesus is saying worry is really the opposite of faith. The more faith you have, the less worry you have. The more worry you have, the less faith you have. And you're associating with those who have no faith by being worried.
Yeah, it's a challenging idea, even for those of us who have been walking with Jesus for a good long time. Anxiousness very well may be a symptom of the fact that I'm more in sync with the world than my Father in heaven. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is calling us to consider. With whom am I in sync? If I'm in sync with the world, well, it's no wonder that he would have told me up in verse 24 that I need to consider my master, right? And sandwiched in between verses 24 and 33 is this talk of being anxious. Verse 33 is where he tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's really a challenge to consider, whose heartbeat am I in sync with? Whose lead am I following? What foundation am I building on? Am I building just like the world around me? Am I hoping in the same things that people of the world are hoping in? Am I motivated by the same things as the world? Well, if I am, I ought not to be surprised that I experience the anxiousness of a world that doesn't know God. But if I am anxious as a disciple, this ought to be one of those health check wake-up calls that maybe I need to get back in sync with my Father in heaven, who is telling me to open my eyes and look.
And it's so interesting as we think about this concept, the subject of worry. You know, we tend to worry about what other people think about us. We tend to worry about beyond the future, lots of things beyond our control.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen to this country, and what happens if the political system changes, and what about this and what about that? And I mean, I had this discussion with somebody the other day, and they said, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "Well, what do you mean? What are we going to do? We can't do much of anything. You know, we're not the helm of this ship." But we know who's above the helm of the ship, and that's God. And what we're going to do is keep following God and trusting God and following Him.
I think that's where hopefully we learn from 2020, right? That we didn't just endure the year, but we learned. One of the great lessons of 2020 ought to be we are not in as much control of things as we thought we were. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us in verse 27. Which of you, by being anxious, can add an hour to his life? Being anxious about things I can't control does not produce control.
Absolutely not. And, you know, it's interesting if we were could even remember, you know, 5 years ago, not very long ago, but 5 years ago, what was it that we worried about? Well, who knows? Yeah. We've moved on. We forgot about that. But at the time, it seemed so major. And there are things right now that seem so major. And a lot of them would not be as major if we put our trust in God, put Him in back in charge of things, and we realize that we don't run this universe. And we follow the Lord, and come what may, we'll keep doing what God wants us to do.
You remember being anxious about Y2K, the bug that was going to shut all the computers down and everything. When's the last time you gave any thought to that? And yet, that ought to teach us that things we are worried about in 2021, if the Lord wills, in 2031, we'll look back and maybe just chuckle because of a different, broader perspective.
Let's consider one other thought on this before we get a little deeper on some things. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, and I think sometimes we hide our worry under this word, Paul was talking about several of the things that he suffered in forms of persecution. He would say in verse 28 of 2 Corinthians 11, apart from such external things, there's daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. And I've heard folks say, well, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. And I think that's just a polite way of covering that up. What is the difference between worry and concern? Well, when we look at Paul, he had daily pressure of the churches upon him. He was concerned. We see Paul doing things. He wrote letters. He sent people. He preached. He prayed. So concern moves me to action, doing something I can do. Worry, all it does is steal my sleep, ruin my appetite, and ruin my health.
Yeah, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, right? There is the difference between worry and concern. If I'm concerned about the things of God, I'm going to seek his kingdom. If I'm concerned about his righteousness, I'm going to devote myself to walking in the right pathways. And so all disciples of Jesus need to have a deep concern that is rooted in allegiance to God. I belong to him first. I am seeking him, his kingdom, his righteousness first.
And what's interesting about this Matthew 6 passage and the Lord using the word look and observe, he didn't say look in scripture, which he does in other places. He doesn't say look up to heaven. He says look at the birds, observe the flowers. Yeah. Things that you can almost see Jesus on a Judean hillside teaching this and maybe just pointing to a field of flowers. Look at the flowers. And maybe as he's teaching, some birds are flying above his head. He'd say, look at those birds. Look. And there, right before them, the Lord was giving illustrations and application that would help them.
Yeah, so maybe that's a good place to end this particular episode. Our key word for this week, look. When you start to worry, look. Roger, as we head into this weekend, we don't have lilies in full bloom here in southern Indiana in January, but there are still things to which we can look. What would you encourage people to look for when they start to worry?
Well, let's begin with the Lord's illustration. Let's talk about nature.
Yeah.
We're in wintertime now. It's January, and the trees have no leaves. I can go to my backyard and start digging up my trees thinking they're dead, but they're not dead. They're not dead. And by faith, I know spring's going to come and they're going to have leaves on them. I can look at the ground. I can look at the grass and it's kind of brown and kind of lifeless looking. And I can say, well, you know what? I'm done with mowing. My yard's dead. I'm going to go sell my mower. No, because I know better. I know what's coming. And so I may be going through a hard period right now, but you know what? I know what's coming. I know the Lord is still there. I know there's things that there's seasons of life and there's seasons of hardship and seasons of blessings. And I can look at that and that can help me. I enter my home and what do I see? I see family. I see blessings of God, that children are a gift of the Lord. I see a mate that loves me, and I see all the blessings that God has given me. I can look about and see my church family on Sunday and see brethren who love and accept and appreciate me. I see people have been there for me and support me, and what I realize is I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this walk with God, and surrounding me are the things that really matter. I've got Bible, not a Bible, I've got Bibles and Bibles and Bibles that I can read God's Word. He's given me eyes that I can see with, ears that I can hear with, a voice that I can use. And so when I look about this, I said, yeah, 2020 was tough. And here we are in 2021 and we're still wearing masks and things are still not back to normal. But you know what? Look at my blessings.
Yeah.
Look. Observe.
It's a great way to enter this weekend. Look around you at all of the incredible blessings we continue to be provided day by day. As we recently heard from our daily Bible reading in Lamentations of all books, God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And so when you start to worry, not if, you live long enough and worry is going to come knocking on your door. When you start to worry, look around you, listen to what Jesus has said, remember that powerful little word. Lord willing, next Friday we'll talk about a second word, lift. And the rest of this month, we'll talk about casting and trusting. But it begins, as so many of the things we've talked about over the course of the last year begins, it starts with our perspective. Roger, any closing thoughts for the day?
Just open our eyes, let us see. Yeah. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that in a small way it has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is truly yet to come.